And good evening from I Don't Care Family Restaurant and Sports Bar here on this Thursday night. So glad you could join us here tonight. And we start off tonight by Daniel both joining us here on the program. Coach, welcome to the show, and thanks for stopping by.
Nice to meet you, Derek. We're glad you're with us. You're doing a good job for our football program and the kids and getting them on the radio.
All right,
you guys are here.
Yeah, so let's kind of dive into what happened last week. Obviously, another a big win for your squad. A couple of teams that you feel like were overmatched in the schools from Wichita, and then you had the setback against Junction City. You're 2-1 going into week four here against a Liberal team that feels like they're revamped a little bit. They've got an offense that has put up a lot of gaudy numbers through the first 3 weeks, so a challenge certainly coming up for the defense this week.
Right. In the first game, you know, we're putting kids out there that aren't very experienced, and they had a really good showing against Wichita West defensively. And then, you know, with inexperienced players, we kind of sit back, you know, and get a little bit complacent during the week because we think we're better than what we are. And it's hard for young teams to get better after they win. It's easier to do that after the first week if you might lose a ball game. We just didn't do a very good job of getting better and preparing ourselves mentally for Junction City, and we played with them. We played toe-to-toe with them for a half, but they're a well-coached football team, and then we didn't do things as well as we could have as far as a preparation standpoint and, you know, doing things the way we're coached on the field, and it kind of bit us in the butt, and we learn our lesson, and then we come back last week. We put things together. We practice better. We're more focused. We get better every day, and you have a performance like we had against, you know, Wichita South, which was good for our kids and developing them as mature football players.
Speaking of practice, I'm curious, you know, what went on this week and what's the message leading up to tomorrow night at Liberal?
We got to be better tacklers. I think last week we focused so much on ourselves, and, you know, early on in the game we made some pretty big hits, and then the rest of the game everybody's trying to make that big hit instead of breaking down and making some tackles. So we've got to do a better job of that. We've emphasized that in practice this week. We've worked tackling all week long. And then ready for Liberals' balanced attack. You know, they're 51% pass and 49% run, so they're a little flip-flop from what we're used to. We're used to those run teams. This is more balanced. So we've prepared to see a little bit of both, and we've prepared well. Kids have been focused all week, and they know their assignments, and now the last part is the test on Friday. So.
Right, so you talked about that a little bit. What are the specific challenges in getting guys ready to, you don't know from down to down what's going to happen between a pass or run? You can't really lean one way or the other. So obviously there are situations where you can expect one or the other. But my point is, how do you prepare guys for that in practice, and how do you kind of balance time to split that up to make sure your guys are ready?
Right, and I've got a group of assistant coaches that are really good about, you know, we've delegated some assignments and some responsibilities. So there's things that we do on Saturday and Sunday to make us comfortable about what we need to do on Monday. And then we just have the kids stay disciplined. You know, we know exactly what they're going to do. We know exactly how they're going to see it. We've seen film. We've watched film. And then we're just asking kids to be disciplined with their read keys and understand where we're weak on certain defensive calls and things like that. And get a lot of plays on scout team. We draw up as many plays as we possibly can, and the scout team runs the other team's plays, and we go to work on them, you know.
What have you felt like are the biggest strengths of your unit so far over the course of the first 3 weeks? What have you liked out of them?
I've been impressed this year with our team speed. You know, we don't let things get to the outside, and we think Dodge City football, you don't think a lot of speed, but we've worked pretty hard in the summer and on the turf and those things, and we've got some team speed on the defensive side of the ball. That's been fun to watch, you know, when those kids start flying around and they're confident in their assignments and then they're running to the football. You don't get a lot on us right now, you know.
What drives you from day to day to kind of continue to do this? I mean, this is it's a basic question, but usually has a pretty good answer. You know, I'm curious. I just want to get behind the minds of the people who are invested in high school athletics,
right?
and kind of what's the story behind yours?
Well, my dad's a coach, and you know, we're from Cimarron, and he coached for 27 to 30 years, I think. I can't remember when he moved over to Dodge. Mom wouldn't let him coach anymore, but I think it was 27 years in Cimarron, and he spent time as a head coach. And he was my, you know, in those small towns, your parents do, you know, teachers and coaches. It's junior high, you know, football, sure. basketball, track, and then high school, football, basketball, and track. And, you know, we didn't have wrestling until I was a freshman, so we didn't know much about that. But I'm a coach's kid, and I've been around locker rooms since I was very little. That's where I got to spend time with my dad. And then that kind of turned in, you know, I fell in love with the game, being around guys that loved playing the game. And I just love being around it. I love watching kids play. I love helping them grow as people. I love watching them grow as athletes. And I'm passionate about that, those things. And hopefully I can, you know, pass some of that passion on to the players that we're getting to coach. And it's a lot of fun for me. You know, there's that old saying that, you know, don't make your work, you know, make it your passion. And in football, and I coach baseball as well, those things are my passion. I don't see it as going to work every day. It's right. a lot of fun for me.
Okay, so you're in a community, too, that obviously very much values its high school athletics, very supportive of its teams, but it also carries with it a high expectation, and there are expectations from year to year. So how do you kind of carry that into your work ethic and the way that you kind of carry out your job from day to day, knowing that you are in a community that is very invested both financially and, you know, just being present at every game? You know, this is you yep. see big crowds and stuff like that, so the community cares. How does that drive you to do your job?
I love it. It seems like there might be more pressure when there's so those things involved, but if you're a competitor, you love those kind of situations. You know, I spent 12 years at Topeka High, where we kind of had to, the coaches had to go get that support from the community. We had to work hard at that. When you come here, the expectation is you've got the support, go coach these kids and do it the best that you can. And, you know, staying disciplined yourself, being a role model for kids, making sure that you're putting kids in the best situation to be successful. And that's what you can offer back to the community. These kids are going to be ready to go. They're going to be well coached. They're going to be prepared. That takes a lot of time and a lot of effort. But it's effort well spent, because, like I said, you know, we're trying to develop not only athletes, we're trying to develop people. And I don't know if the community is more interested in, you know, supporting athletic programs, but I think the community understands that good athletic programs develop good kids, and that's what we want out of these kids out of Dodge City.
You've done this job for a long time, talked about how you're a coach's kid. What's one of the more rewarding experiences going back in the course of your career and from year to year as you see kids grow and develop and come through the program? You know, high school is a very unique stage because it's 4 years and, you know, you get to work with the kid for a certain amount of time and then they're gone. So what's rewarding about that?
My favorite thing is when they come back and they have a funny story or a good memory. You know, I've got a lot of kids from Topeka that are now turning 30 this year, and that was really close with that group when they were in high school, and those kids are off doing fantastic things, and starting to get that. This is my fifth year in Dodge City, and starting to get that back when I see those kids come back from college, or they're out of college now, and they'll share a funny story. Hey, you remember when you did this? And sometimes I don't, but it was a positive impact on them.
Yeah,
we just do that so often that sometimes we forget what kind of impact that we are leaving with those kids. I love seeing those kids that, you know, on Facebook, and they might have a girlfriend, or they might, you know, have a fiance, or you might see a wedding or a kid being born. Man, those are good things. That's what I really enjoy about helping these kids develop.
So as a coordinator, you have had experience going through coaching changes, obviously, at different places. You know, how do you find it challenging to work with each head coach and, you know, all the assistants? With football, you're talking about the biggest staff of any sport, basically, right, at the high school level. So how do you kind of manage all those pieces and then fit into your role well, depending on what the head coach says?
Right. First of all, I've been blessed to work with head coaches that I've learned something from, each one of them. You know, I told Coach Schartz, who's now coaching at Comanche Middle School, you know, he kind of opened the door for me and let me be on his first, or my first job was with him. And I reminded him of that, you know, in the first game. I said, you remember when we started this, you know, 20 years ago, this is my 20th year. And I was like, I didn't know if I was going to make it this long. And now I've worked with Coach Alexander at Topeka High, and we kind of turned that program around and had a contributing part to that. Mm-hmm. And then come back and work with Coach Foster, and I learned a lot of football from Coach Foster. He kind of gave me the opportunity. He asked me to be his defensive coordinator, and then he left, and then we go out, and Coach Steiner and Coach Gifford, they go after somebody like Coach O'Neill, and you get to learn from somebody that's had a lot of success, and I've enjoyed working with every one of those guys. Each one of those guys is different. But I've learned something about life, and I've learned something about football and how you treat kids from each one of them. So that's the impact that they've had on me, those coaches. And then hopefully, you know, with being a having a leadership role on a football program as a defensive coordinator, hopefully I'm helping some young coaches develop as coaches as well, kind of being that mentor. But I just kind of have to set the example of what we need to do, what it's like to prepare, what it's like to coach an individual position group, and how you need to do it, and how all that fits. And I don't do anything that I don't run by the head coach first, you
right.
know. And we've got to get approval. But working with Coach O'Neill, and he's kind of given me a lot of room to work and a lot of responsibility. And it's been really fun. You know, I've got to grow as a coach, and I don't have to have somebody looking over my shoulder. We ask a lot of questions. He gives a lot of suggestions. And it's been really fun working. We've got a good working relationship.
Coach, you talked about that team speed defensively. Your group is in the top 10 in the big four defensive categories in points per game, total yards, rushing yards, and passing yards. What have been a few contributing factors, do you feel like, to that and through the first 3 weeks?
Kids that we have right now are getting after it in the weight room. They're committed in the summer, and we do a lot of speed stuff and a lot of weight room. You know, we have the indoor facility where we do a lot of agility, speed work, you know, and I think that's starting to pay off. I can't count how many times, and I probably shouldn't say it, how many times they opened up the weight room after hours for kids
right.
that wanted to go in there. We just got kids with work ethic, and it's starting to pay off. And, you know, we try to keep things simple for them, too, on the defensive side of the ball. If you have kids thinking on a football field in between whistles, they're slow. And so we've tried to keep it simple. We've tried to prepare them and get things taken care of in practice so on Friday nights they can fly around and have fun, because that's what playing defense is all about.
All right, Coach, final question. We'll get you out of here on this. What are the keys to getting a victory on the road at, and we said it earlier, a Liberal team that is believing right now and has confidence in its offense that they can win and outscore just about anybody?
I tell the kids every week, the team that is most disciplined, the team that is the fastest, the team that is the most physical, and the team that handles adversity the best, because I've never seen a perfect football game, will win the football game. And if we do at least three of those four things very well tomorrow night, hopefully four out of four, but I'll get, I mean, it's hard to be perfect on a football field, but we'll correct those mistakes as we go. But if you take care of those four things, usually the chips fall where you want them to, so...
Defensive coordinator Daniel Bowe, thanks a lot for stopping by, and appreciate you being on Demon
Talk. Thanks for having
me,
Derek. Appreciate it.
All right, we've got a break coming up, and then we'll talk to a couple of football players and Sean Steiner coming up later in the show. You're listening to Demon Talk on Z98. Back here at I Don't Care Family Restaurant Sports Bar on this Thursday night, I'm Derek Decker, and joined now by Keenan Howard, senior on the Dodge City football squad. Keenan, welcome to the show. Thanks for being here. All right, so you've got your senior year here, again, and this is kind of a question that I like to start off with a lot of the older guys that have been around the program. How do you see yourself fitting in as a leader with this group, and how have the leaders before you shaped you into the guy that you are right now?
The leaders before us were a lot more vocal, and they played with the nice and physical. In our group, our senior class, we are just like, we play, and that's how we show our leadership, like play by example. And most of us are trying to work with the talking stage, and some of us are really getting it down, and we're getting it really good with the team. And they're listening pretty well, and we're working good.
All right, so 2-1 on the season already, three games in. You know, what's exciting you about going forward, not only this week at Liberal, but going down the road the rest of the way as well?
It's pretty exciting. We have a really good team. I think we can go far and have a good push into this season.
What motivates you from day to day to get out of bed, to practice, put in all the hours that it takes to be successful in football, which is different than some other sports too, just from a practice perspective and obviously a physicality perspective. So what motivates you every day to do that in this sport?
I'm just trying to get better every day. I mean, it's like feels like it's just my time now to finally step in the role of being a starter and playing and being successful.
All right, so routine-wise, what do you do pregame, before a game, say after school, whatever, you get ready for a home game? What does that look like for you?
Go home, get a little snack, like a little protein bar, eat it, then go to the field, start listening to music, get tape, do little walkthroughs, and then just talk to my team, communicate, just get ready for the game.
When you put the headphones on, what are you listening to?
I'm listening to Young Dolph.
Okay. All right, so we were talking about breakfast a minute ago. You're a burrito guy for breakfast. Why?
It's just, I don't know, potatoes.
So like, bacon. Yeah, but so fresh burritos in the morning? Is that So you wake up. Are you making these yourself or what?
Sometimes. My mom does it.
That's an interesting one. I think there's a – the breakfast tells a lot about a person, and I'm not a breakfast guy at all. All right, so post-high school, what's the plan? You know, what are you going to do after you graduate?
Looks like I might go here, or if I get an offer, go somewhere to play. Otherwise, I'll just go into real estate and go for that.
Okay, so what draws you into real estate?
I'm good with communicating with people, so that's just another good thing I have. So to talk to people is – I feel like will be good.
Got any family that's done that in the past or anything like that? Friends, something like that, that got you interested?
No, I just how that I've seen how we sold our houses and how they do it, and I just like how it goes.
Okay, you've been, obviously, you're a senior. You've been through the program. Thinking back on broadly, what's one of your favorite moments over the course of your football career?
Favorite moments was probably last year when Josh Gonzalez tackled Coach Voth. And Coach Voth was just feeling all hype after it. It was funny. Probably my favorite moment.
We were talking about Coach Voth, just talked to him on the show here. You know, how is he as a leader and as a coach, you know, being a coordinator, you know, how has the staff helped you out into developing you into the player that you are now?
They're a lot vocal, and they try to get us to do everything we need to do to be successful, like in the weight room. If they give us good workouts and then an indoor, like what they give on us in the indoor, with their agility and stuff, it shows us good improvement on the field and it makes us a better player.
Okay, so where do you see, you know, talking about last year, a first-round playoff loss, you know, what kind of drives you to get to that point? You see it now. You feel like this is a group that has the potential and the talent to make it deep into the playoffs. So, you know, what excites you about coming up the end of the season? I know we're still a long ways away. We got several weeks left, and you're just starting conference play. But that's something always to look forward to at the end of the year.
I'm just finally getting into that moment of showing that we belong there and that we can play against these teams. That's what really drives me, is that we can play with the Kansas City area teams, really.
What drew you to football from a young age?
My dad, really.
Yeah? Dad. What about your dad? Did your dad play football, I'm assuming?
In high school.
Okay. So he instilled it at you from a young age. And what did that look like growing up? You know, is it a situation where – you know, you're doing whatever in the backyard, or, you know, you get up and you work out every day. Like, what's how did he kind of influence you and get you into the sport?
Just playing catch with me, and then he just signed up to be a coach, and that's what got into me. He just was coaching me ever since I grew up. So
your father important to you as a coach then, too?
Yeah.
Okay, so what about him, you know, kind of made you better and helped you along in your career?
Him trying to coach me up and having workouts and just him buying, like, workout equipment for me to use is just making me as a better, stronger person.
Sure. So everything else, you talk about what goes on outside of not only school but athletics. What kind of hobby things are you interested in that's not real estate and that's not either football or any other sports?
Probably video game.
All right, what's your favorite video game?
2K or Madden.
Solid. I like it. I like the choices. You PS4 guy?
PS5.
Okay, there you go. Okay, so I look at this, and you're in week four of the season, and you go forward. Where do you see this team's weaknesses, and how do you try to improve those going forward in practice each week? And, you know, obviously the loss to Junction City exposed some things on both sides of the football, but, you know, you've got a team that has confidence in it. You've got two big wins and another an opportunity here at Liberal this week. So how do you go on the road and get a dub this Friday night?
I think being disciplined and reading our keys well, and that's really it. I feel like we can, if we do that good and play fast and physical and get hats to the football, we can be a good team.
Well, it certainly seems like Coach Voth has had some influence too, because he talked about some of the same things just a few minutes ago. Keenan Howard, thanks so much for joining us. Senior on the Demon football team. Good luck the rest of the way.
Thank you.
All right, 3-minute break. We talk to Austin Schulte coming up on the other side. You're listening to Red Demon Talk on Z98. Back here at I Don't Care Family Restaurant and Sports Bar, I'm Derek Decker, joined now by Austin Schulte, senior on the Red Demon football team. Austin, welcome to the show. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
All right, so you've got a very interesting story. Obviously, you are in a system now where there are potentially as many as three different guys. We've seen three quarterbacks in the first half on Friday night last week against Wichita South. You know, injury last year, and we'll start with the injury. You know, how has that kind of impacted you both mentally and physically leading up to this point in the season and now adjusting to a new role in the system with Coach O'Neill?
Yeah, so like whenever we first came out of surgery, it was like, well, do you want to play football? And my mom was always saying, you know, why don't we sit football out? Let's just worry about basketball season. But, you know, I wanted to get around the guys that I've been with for four straight years. So I kept on, you know, going to physical therapy every single week and going to weights and everything like that and trying to get back in a game mode to where I could go. And it's really it took a mental toll on me. I've worked really, really hard to get back to where I was at. And but, yeah, I'm here to stay, I should say.
Yeah, so I'm interested, too, into how that has affected your role as a leader, because last year as a junior and now in a different role as a senior, your leadership role changes a little bit. So talk about that and how it has morphed over the course of your career.
Yeah, so we came out, and, you know, I didn't know who – I mean, I played YMCA ball with Caden a lot whenever we were back in elementary and all that, and, you know, we were always – on the same team, going against each other. I used to play receiver, he'd play quarterback, and then he'd play receiver, and I'd play quarterback. And his dad was always a coach, so we kind of always came back and forth with each other.
Right.
But going into leadership, it was more of – I've always been kind of just a laid-back type of guy. Mm-hmm. I've really never stepped into a leadership role, unless I have to. But, like, going into my senior year, I wasn't around the guys all summer. I was on my own trying to get, in a sling for half of it, trying to get back to where I should be at, to where I could go back with the guys. So I know that Chance and Luke and all those guys, they're going to push guys to where, to our varsity caliber guys, to where they need to be to compete on Friday nights.
Yeah, and Coach O'Neill has kind of talked about it, and honestly, everybody that has been either a senior or a coach with this program has talked about this group of seniors leading more by example than anything else, and it's a different group than last year's seniors. But how do you see yourself being influenced by last year's senior class, which overall really has been so highly regarded with just about everybody we've talked to so far?
Yeah, starts at the quarterback position. Tucker Smith, our quarterback last year, he was like a big brother to me, basically. Mm-hmm. I lived right up the street from him, so we've known each other for a long time, and going back and playing YMCA ball and everything like that, he took me under his wing really after Coach O'Neill got here running the new offense, and we double teamed basically and came into and mm-hmm. knowing all now I know that I can go in any position. I know the playbook like the back of my hand. I can go in any position I need to and be able to go and play whatever Coach O'Neill needs me to play. But yeah, it all goes back to Tucker and Daniel and all those. They pushed our class to be the leaders of example that we need, that we are now.
You're a multi-sport athlete. How has everything kind of fit in and helped you in football specifically? You know, how have you seen your career been impacted by everything else that you play, both athletically and in your mindset as well?
Yeah, football, basketball, and I also golf during the spring season. And I think basketball takes me a step bigger than what football does. I've always been a big basketball guy, and I've tried coming back around to football, and always kind of been, oh well, we're going to see what this guy can do.
Yeah.
We'll give you your shot eventually. And, whenever I get my shot, like last week, one pass, one touchdown. That's all I need, basically.
It was a beautiful route, too. Yeah, it was an awesome connection.
I'll give that one to Vincent. Vincent, he got a pretty good route on that guy on the
no
backside.
Question. And you know, Vince is so quick and everything, and his first step is tremendous. But talking about the mental aspect and everything beyond that, the golf part, which – and I enjoy playing golf and, mm-hmm. you know, lots of people. And I didn't start enjoying it until, honestly, I got older and got into college. But, you know, what's that been like and how has that impacted things for you?
Yeah, started out freshman year. I kind of just, like, wanted to pick something new up. And I always played baseball during the spring. And I was like, golf. My grandparents always played it. Dad played it. Mom played it. Well, they don't anymore because of, you know, issues or whatever, back issues. But just grandparents came out, and I was like, hey, I want to try out golf. So I came out, Coach Maple, he's put me through a lot, and we've been able – I have a really good relationship with him going through all my teacher cadet programs and everything like that. So, yeah, golf's really – it's helped me, too. I've been able to control my mind a lot more. You know, you hit a bad shot, and it's like, oh, well, same with football. You throw a bad ball. It's the same mental aspect. You know, you got to mm-hmm. pick it up from where you left off and – make sure that you're always in the right mindset and keep going on each play, each drive.
How do you try to get yourself prepared? Because obviously football and golf are so different. You know, you've got a violent contact sport on one hand, and then you've got it is I mean, yes, you are playing for a team, but it's also a very much more individualistic sport when you're not depending on the other 10 guys on the field around you. You know, how do you kind of get yourself in game mode between the two sports with, you know, leading up to it and getting ready for the game and after school and everything, your pregame routine? That's got to be different, right, between the two sports?
Yeah, from football, we run, yeah, like you said, 11 guys on the field. You gotta control each guy, especially playing quarterback. You got to know your defensive formations, which blitzers are coming on which packages the defense is throwing at you. Same thing in golf. Hey, I got a ball in the sand trap. All right, I'm going to have to club up and get the ball out of the sand. Mm-hmm. Or if I'm in the middle of the fairway, you hit the club that your range is at. So, there's a really big difference in them. Coming into, like, a football game, you're thinking, okay, you have so many different packages. Same as golf, you have 12 different or 11 different clubs in the bag. You just got to know which one to use at which opportunity.
All right, let's talk about basketball for a minute. What excites you about getting towards the season and getting back into the swing of things? Obviously, December's fast approaching, and certainly not to take anything away from football. But, you know, what kind of excites you about getting ready back on the hardwood?
Yeah, coming off of the state run last year with our big group of seniors, and our team's ready for more. Mm-hmm. I know that Coach Trauber, he's – like I say, he's big X's and O's guy, same as me. We go back and forth with each other about, hey, I'm seeing this on film. We should do this. I've always been a big X's and O's guy too. And, yeah, I know he's going to find – during the summer, we were trying to figure out what kind of defensive mindset we were going to have. We were staying with our lock-left defense and what kind of offense we wanted to run. With our new foreign exchange student, Victor, coming in from Brazil, he's going to be a big part of what we're going to try to accomplish this year. But, yeah. Going into basketball, we're going to expect a lot of big things from me and Isaiah, Taylor, and all of us guys. We're looking back for a state run again this year.
You talked about Coach Trauber being an influence. How has he kind of shaped you and molded you over the course of your high school career?
Yeah, he got here, my sophomore year, and he took me underneath his wing. He knew that I'm, like I said, looking for a scholarship in basketball, and I'm going to try to push myself as much as I can this season to get one. And, yeah, he's really been able to kind of – he's got me more in a mental mindset than he has really physical and kind of game-like, because he's always seen that, I struggle with a little bit of mental stuff. If I'm shooting a three and it misses, I go down in a slump, and he's always been there to pick me up, whether it's on the varsity court or on the JV court. And, yeah, he's always been a big role model ever since I got here my sophomore year.
You talked about that scholarship. So what are the plans after high school and then maybe even post-college?
Yeah, college is the main thing right now, getting a scholarship, even if it's in football or golf or basketball, whatever I can get, really. After college, during college, I'm going to go into education and administration and get an education degree and come back. And I hope to come back to Dodge High one day and be a coach. And
so that's your dream job then, right?
Yeah.
Is be a coach. If you had to pick, I'm guessing I already know the answer to this, but if you had to pick a sport to coach, what would you pick?
Basketball.
But would you consider coaching multiple sports?
Yeah.
You know, Coach Voth does, and, mm-hmm. and there's so many coaches at Dodge that that kind of fly around on both the boys and the girls' side that coach different sports, and that seems like a cool experience too.
Yeah, I'm a big offensive side of the ball guy on football. So
right.
I've played defense my freshman year, and after I got hit one time by a tight end, and I was like, nope, not for me. So,
I love it.
So, yeah, we came back, and I was like, Coach, it would have been Coach Foster time. I'm like, Coach, I don't want to play defense. Just let me throw the ball. And Coach Foster, he kind of played around freshman year and sophomore year. And then, junior year came with Coach O'Neill and played quarterback most of the season. And, it's just been after that, coming into basketball, we going into kind of like last season, played a lot of JV. Mm-hmm. Had a lot of mental errors, mental mistakes during our first couple of games, and Coach Strawberry always said, "Hey, get your mind right, and we'll get you back on the floor eventually." And this big season, I'm waiting for a big season.
Okay, so you talked about you've been around, you've been through multiple coaching changes in different sports too. Now everything kind of rolling along, and this can be any sport. A couple of your favorite memories over the course of your career athletically, whether that be in basketball or golf or football or whatever.
I can probably give you one for each sport. Football would definitely be the hatchet game last year.
Yeah, that was an exciting game.
It was very exciting. We went into it, knowing it was going to be – we were, of course, better record. We knew it was going to be a dogfight, as every rivalry game is.
Yeah.
And we knew Garden was going to give us our best shot. And, came into halftime, and all the guys were kind of like stunned because we didn't. We were expecting to beat them like everybody should, and yeah, we were kind of stunned. And Coach Voth, yeah, he gave us a war horse story. I don't know if I should repeat it on the air, but it was a pretty good emotional story. And yeah, came out at halftime and ended up getting the win in double overtime.
Right, and I'm just a follow up on that. You know, now you've got a hatchet game coming up this year. They're obviously going to want revenge, and it's in a baseball stadium. So, kind of talk about what excites you with that experience coming up in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I'm just hoping that the atmosphere of the crowd is going to be nice. Mm-hmm. I know that it's definitely a different stadium, different atmosphere type. But as long as the crowd's into it, because last week we came out hot against Wichita South, crowd was in it, student section was in it, band was in it, and they came out second half and everybody kind of shut down and we all got right. tired and the band yeah. and everybody yeah. So as long as the atmosphere in the stadium is going to be at good high enough capacity, I think it'll benefit both teams, but I hope it benefits us more.
Okay, basketball story. What's your favorite?
I definitely say going back to freshman year, we were playing in the Ox Gym, and it was like the end of the first quarter. Forgot who we were playing. Kid was shooting a free throw. I'm thinking there's like 2 seconds left, and I'm standing down on the block boxing some guy out. Get the rebound, take about 2 dribbles towards midcourt, and just chuck it. Swish.
I love it.
And Coach Johnson at the time, he's like, yeah, as Coach Johnson does. And he always called me old school because I always have a pretty good post game going in. I have a lot of spin moves and a lot of pump fakes that I use in the post. Yeah. So he used to call me old school a lot. And, yeah, I think it'll be a pretty good basketball memory that I have.
All right. Now I'm very curious about your golf memory.
You know, I'd probably say it's not a friendly one, but when last season we were on the driving range, and I couldn't play varsity because at the time I was getting surgery in April, so I just kind of like sat back on the JV, kind of was a JV man, and I can give you two. We were on the JV kind of side of the driving range, and one of our kids kind of walked out in front of the other one, and the other one hit him right in the shin with a golf club. And, yeah, he kind of fell over and gave him a big bruise on his calf. And, yeah, I can't remember if he came back or not. I really can't. But
that'd be enough to scare me away, probably.
And then I definitely say winning the JV tournament last year, the Dodge Invitational JV tournament.
Yeah.
Winning that solo. And, giving our JV team a first place victory too as well.
All right, Austin Schulte here on Demon Talk. Thanks a lot for stopping by. Good luck the rest of the way in football season, and we look forward to talking to you again during basketball season.
Sounds good, thank you.
All right, 3-minute break, and coming up on the other side, the incomparable Sean Steiner here on Demon Talk. We're back in 3 minutes. You're listening live on Z98. Final segment here on Demon Talk tonight. Joined now by the activities director, Sean Steiner, here on Demon Talk. Sean, thanks a lot for coming on, and appreciate you backing up this last segment for us tonight.
Not a problem at all.
All right, so make sure I get all my ducks in a row here. Cross country, girls tennis, girls golf, and volleyball you oversee during the fall. That has to be, and you know, lots of people in this business know, has to be a hectic calendar to deal with. Obviously, just about everybody's on the books tonight in action alone. So, you know, tell us about that schedule. What's that like from night to night?
It's pretty busy. I'll say that much. It's been basically since my first event that we hosted was JV Tennis Tournament on August 25th. Mm-hmm. And then slowly that next week was pretty slow other than I did Acacia Spirit Spreaders at the Civic Center. And then I rolled into the next week. I think we had 3 home volleyball nights that week. And right after Labor Day there, we had dual versus Great Bend on Tuesday, had home golf on Thursday, had volleyball on Thursday, freshman tournament on Saturday. So it's one of those things that I stay busy, I'll say the least.
Yeah, no question. So, you know, how do you kind of juggle that? What do your organizational stuff look like? How do you get yourself ready week in and week out? Is it a thing where you sit down at the beginning of the week on either Sunday and Monday and say, all right, here's what we got planned for the night? And then how do you balance that with your family too?
Well, don't ask my wife, let's put it that way. Though.
Right.
The one thing I say enjoy right now, because my daughter's a sophomore in high school, so I'm getting to watch her play a little bit of two as well. So it's one of those things.
She plays volleyball right now,
yep. So it's one of those things that right now, basically, it's week by week, and always plan a week ahead, and sometimes, you know, you're still trying to do some other things mixed in there too, but it's I'm the guy that usually screws up the weekly schedule out on Twitter, so it's I got to make that correction about 3 or 4 times because there is a lot of things going on. It's just and it's a moving thing. It's always moving, lots of moving parts, and so it's just one of those things. You're trying to work a week ahead, and in our world, we usually try to get out information to events about a week, about 7 days in advance. That's contacting officials. That's getting information to visiting teams. Your planning starts then at that point in time. But like I said, once you get in routine, hosting events really not that tough. It's one of those things. It's about the same thing over and over. So,
what's one of the more rewarding aspects about this job with so many different athletes? I mean, you get to come in contact with tons of different athletes directly. So, what's rewarding about that?
Well, you know, I've been in Dodge City Public Schools for 18 years now. So, it's one of those things. I spent, this is now I think my 14th year in administration. So, it's one of those things. I used to know, it sounds awful, I did attendance for the whole building at one point in time when I was about 1,600 kids, and I knew a lot of kids at that point in time. And it's
right.
The kids I know now are, like I said, it's good to see Keenan and Austin, kids like that here. Like I said, it's great to see those kids and get them to have the opportunity to speak and just really to put themselves out there and have that opportunity. So it's, like I said, it's rewarding getting kids, watch kids grow. Like I said, it's amazing watching kids grow from their freshman year to their senior year, not just physically, but also skill level and just things like that. And so it's, that's been the fun thing about high school activities.
Yeah, and I ask this question of everybody. What would you have done if not doing what you're doing right now as the activities director?
Well, when I was a college student, I was a accounting major. And
you ended up being the activities director at Dodge.
I was convinced that I grew up, my mom was an educator for many, 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 many years. I grew up a lot of, most of my elementary years spending time after school, and education was the last thing I wanted to do. And I got to Fort Hays, and I was in a calculus class, and I had done a math class in 2 years, and I talked to Carolyn Bird, who was our academic advisor for the athletic department there, and she's like, you ever thought about education? I said, no. She goes, but you don't have to take calc. I said, okay, then sign me up. Like, but no, it's one of those things that I knew ultimately at that point in time I wanted to get into coaching football. And it was one of the things that my plan at that point in time was to probably be a college GA coaching football and working that way. But then I got to thinking about it, really, to me, recruiting wasn't one of those things. I love coaching the sport, but it wasn't, the recruiting element wasn't one of the things I wanted to spend time on the road and
it's a big
all
deal
over the country.
Too.
So
it's quite a commitment.
Yeah. So it was one of those things that I got into high school sports, and I student taught actually at La Crosse, Kansas, and I enjoyed that experience there because I actually coached middle school football. I got paid during student teaching. That was the excitement there. That $1,400 is the most – I was much welcome when you're student teaching, so it's one of those things.
Right.
But the crazy part about it was at the end of the day, so I actually got to coach high school football after school too. So it was one of those things that I was a middle school – my head coach at that time said, hey, you're the middle school assistant coach, but really you're the high school offense line coach. So I was like, okay, I can do that. So, but, no, like I said, I've coached – a variety of things. I coached baseball for a couple of years when I was younger. My wife was the head softball coach here for 10 to 12 years. Coached wrestling for a couple different times for about 3 to 4 years. So, like I said, I've had a variety of background there on that side of things. And it's been a great experience even just being the activities director because it's such a wide variety of things of our activities department. As when you look at marching band, you look at choir, you look at orchestra.
Right.
Scholars Bowl debate, forensics, those different things. There's a lot of different kids. It's great to see how kids in a building our size fit in all those different programs, too, and watch them excel.
Yeah, and that's really kind of interesting, too. And you know, speaking from my background at a much smaller high school, I got to imagine that you have such a diverse group of people that can do so many different things, and, you know, you get to see all of them. Would you consider coaching again down the road? No, I understand with the activities director title, that is quite time consuming, and to you know, kind of devote yourself to one sport might be difficult. But do you consider doing that again down the road sometime?
Right now I enjoy what I'm doing. It's one of those things that there's still times I get the itch. It's one of those things that it's Coach Voth had him remind me Friday night when I walked up to him after the game and wanted to talk. Little 3-4 defense, he reminded me,
right.
That, hey, I gave up coaching 7 years ago, and I said, you're right, I'll shut up. So it's one of those things that, no, it's like I said, I love being around the coaches still and still being around the games. That's really why the passion of being, when you're an athletic director or activities director, that's your passion, is still being around kids and being around high school athletics.
What do you feel like is probably your favorite season now that you get to do all this stuff as far as between the fall and the winter and the spring? Kind of talk about the different dichotomies between them, what's busy, what isn't, and what's your favorite season to be around?
Fall's the excitement of the start of the school year always, so it's one of those things. It's just, it's so busy on that side of things. Fall and spring are just so there's so much we pack into those small seasons. Mm-hmm. To me, winter sometimes the R&R. It's, yeah, you got home basketball, you got wrestling and swimming and bowling going on, but it's still just not as many events. So it's one of those things. To me, wrestling, I've really grown that passion of love for the sport over the years with it. Like I said, I started coaching back when I first was still teaching that time with Mike Balmas, and Lars Luders convinced me to come back and be a coach for a couple years there, and I actually coached with Coach Lowe. So it's one of those things, when that opening came about, that was the first person I reached out to, because I knew that was the right man I wanted for the job to come back. So it was winning that girls' state title last year was definitely a highlight. It was a special moment for me, and I told those girls that. So
yeah, and I was just going to say, too, you know, with you being involved in so many different things, you feel like you get to be a part of these sports in themselves, and that has to be pretty cool to be a part of each and every day and throughout the different seasons, too.
Well, and that one was, to me, was super special just because the sport was so new still. Mm. And I've watched it from the infancy stage of the first year we had it, when it was truly girls by themselves, and it was – I kept telling them, like, a couple times, the old coach came out to me, and I told him, like, hey, you can't do that. Like, but why? It works. I'm like, it works now. In a year, it won't work. Right. They're like, why? But I'm like, no, just trust me. It's there's a right way to do things and a wrong way to do things, and right now it's working, and in a couple years it won't. So it's been fun, really, especially this group of juniors and seniors we have now that have been in the program since they were freshmen. So yeah, it's really fun to watch a kid like Joel Amarez, who I watched as a freshman, dislocate her elbow and not be able to compete her freshman year, but then watch her grow now as a senior. Autumn Perez a couple years ago went on to wrestle at college, so it's one of those things that it was just fun to watch those kids grow from day one of, and the growth is just immense. It's, you've seen so much more growth with them on the side of things with sports, because it's the ground, you're starting at zero basically, and it's where you're getting to. It's fun to watch how much time they put in, the commitment they have to it, and it's, that girls' group's going to be fun to get and watch this year again as well.
Yeah, and it's a really interesting thing, too, because you've got so many different states that are in different, you know, spots. Yep. As the sport continues to grow and, yep, and kind of catch on. You think back to all the time that you spent here in Dodge, and you know, it's impossible to narrow it down to a couple of cool moments. But a couple of the highlights of your career, not just as activities director, but overall at Dodge. And I know there's got to be a million things running through your mind that you know, come to mind during that question.
You're right. There's over 18 years. There's a lot there. It's
I'm
one
sure.
of the things that the first. Well, I would say one of the first special years was 2006. I was coaching football at that time, and we'd been. That was kind of the turnaround of football in Dodge City from the basically the early 90s till then. We ended up going 6-3 that year, and I remember my wife, like I said, once again, this is not one of her fonder memories of me, but it was we played Wichita North on a Friday night, and it ended up raining out, and we came back on Saturday Ooh. Morning. I actually missed my – we had to move my daughter's birthday party because it's September 13th, so we moved it up to earlier in the day to do the family birthday, because I think we played at 11 o'clock and to finish the game. So poor North drove home that night, turned around and came back, and I think they basically got off the bus to get right back on the bus, and we ended up putting up big numbers that day, and it was just a fun game. Like I said, that was a good fun year, just really turning things around there. Mentioned earlier, girls wrestling winning the state title last year. It's been fun watching our soccer team too. That's one of those things. It's not one of my sports, but it's that group has turned into a little bit of a machine. It's just fun to watch those kids. Just you graduate kids, but you just plug new kids in. So it's been fun on that part. And the other thing, I think probably one of the more exciting games I've ever been a part of was the 2015, it was a 14 or 15, I can't remember, Hatchet game. It was actually last year I coached football. We ended up winning 21-20 on a block extra point to win the game. And it was funny because we blocked the extra point and Noah Williams blocked it, and then our kids are all going crazy, but you've got 30 seconds left and you got to calm them down because the game ain't over.
Yeah, right.
At 21-20, they're kicking an onside and like – hey, like, we got to
– yeah, you're sweating bullets on the sideline as this thing's
– So it was – yeah, it was definitely interesting, to say the least.
Yeah, and kind of talking about that soccer program, got the first real taste of it. I did on Tuesday night, and, you know, the fan support is tremendous. The numbers in the program are just awesome. And we talked to Saul on the program a couple weeks ago, but the dedication that this community has to that sport in particular, and I know it's not your responsibility, but, you know, it has grown here, and it is, you're right, it's the only boys program in the state to ever win two undefeated state titles, and one of those came 2 years ago. Yeah. I mean, it's been 3.5 years since they lost a regular season match.
It's just fun to be a fan of them. That's one of the things. They're great kids. They work hard, and it's been fun to watch that group kind of take it to another level, too, of their dedication in the summertime, attending weights every day. I mean, prior to really that 16 group, soccer kids didn't show up to weights a whole lot. I mean, we had a few handful of kids at the time because I used to help with weights in the summertime. So it was one of those things. It was fun to watch true the dedication they've gone through, and you understand why the amount of time and effort those kids put in, why they're what they are.
Yeah, no question. So you look forward to the winter. Kind of give us a preview of what's coming up with the different sports that are happening that are in your forte and that you cover, and what you expect out of the season coming up.
Like I said, girls golf actually finished second today at Garden City. So yep. Ashlyn Armstrong ended up winning with a 76. So that's due to the elements today and that course. That's pretty impressive, honestly. And she's been a fun one to watch because she's been a 4-time state qualifier. Excuse me, 3-time state qualifier. If she qualifies this year, she'll be a 4th.
That's
I don't want to pull the cart before thinking. I don't want to pull the cart before the horse there. But no, like I said, it's been fun. So things coming up here, we got home volleyball next Tuesday. That's senior night there. That'll be a try with Liberal in Garden City. They've got some other matches mixed in there along the ways. They have WAC volleyball on the 15th, which I had to be reminded tonight. There might be something else going on October 15th that day too as well. But like I said, that actually week's pretty busy because we all have WAC cross country that week too as well. That's over in Garden City this year. We're actually hosting another home golf tournament here on October 4th. It was supposed to be at Great Bend, but due to some things with the course there in Great Bend, we're actually moving that event back to Dodge.
Nice.
We're going to play at the country club, and so it's going to be fun there. Part of that was, so in the WAC golf, how it works is they do season points throughout the year. You play each school hosts the tournament, and you play at that site. So with Great Bend not being able to host, we still needed a 5th tournament, so that's why we're bringing it back to Dodge here. Us being partly the centrally located one, I was willing to host it. So playing the country club I don't think we played a tournament there since, it'd been a regionals or state 1 year. I think 09 state was there, and I think it might have been a regional after that, a boys regional. So it's been a while since we played the country club.
Cool.
Girls tennis, we got, like I said, they go this weekend to Garden City. Like I said, they've got a full slate left. They've got to go to Hutch next week. They've been pretty busy the last couple weeks here, too. Yeah. Their season really is condensed in the couple weeks. We're a little relatively slow starting with our schedule, how it works out, but it's one of those things we cram a lot in the last 2 weeks here.
Yeah.
They'll go October 3rd is their league tournament here in Dodge. So we'll start WAC at 10 o'clock that morning. So all 5 of the WAC schools are here, play round robin that day, and play cross country. Like I said, they're at Rimrock this weekend. We'll have WAC cross country on October 13th as well in Garden. Sorry, I'm duplicating there. Working back through my head here.
Yeah.
Like I said, it's October gets busy with the postseason that side of things. So we're typically everybody's in action. That second and third weekend they're starting their postseason. Regional tennis will be it's in Garden City this year. Actually, it's on October the 7th, I believe, or whatever that Friday is. Be the 7th, I believe.
It's the 7th, yeah.
Okay, so we'll be in 7th there. So like I said,
we're
hitting that point of the season where we're wrapping up regular season here real quickly and going to roll into postseason for some of these sports.
Okay, this is kind of a random question, but this just comes from my background, being from something totally different. There are tons of tri-meets and doubleheaders, and, even in basketball season, boys, girls, doubleheaders, everything like that. And I'm just curious, what's the thought process behind that? Because it seems to happen in a lot of sports. It'll be in baseball, too, and in softball when you get into the spring sports and everything else. Tons of events where it's not one team against another. There's usually 3, 4, whatever.
Well, and it's kind of one of those things, especially with volleyball. Volleyball is based off points. Like tonight was a duel with Liberal, so it's just a single point there. You get 36 points throughout the season, so it's one of the things. A tournament's worth 5. You can only do so many. You can only do so many tournaments. So it's just a little bit.
Is it a WAC thing, or is it a Kansas thing overall?
It's a Kansas thing overall. Okay. Yeah, really, for the most part, it's one of those things that, especially with volleyball, a lot of it's tries and quads. Yeah. You'll get some tournaments on the weekends. Tennis, for the most part, is usually just meets. Tennis is a little unique because you can play a duel, and actually we've done it once or twice here while I've been in Dodge. We play collegiate format where you play one single, everybody plays 1 through 6 singles, and everybody plays 1 through 3 doubles. It's fun. It's something different for kids. But like I said, especially with the springtime, with baseball, softball, we end up in some tries sometimes because we struggle to schedule games because nobody wants to travel west sometimes. So it's one of those things. We end up traveling east to play two people. Like, lots of time the AVCTL will have us play. Like, we played Newton and Valley Center. They're both in different divisions, so they're across divisions, so they're willing to let us play in that part of things. Baseball's going to be a little fun this year because, like I said, we've got a doubleheader coming out. Newton coming out there this year. We'll go back next year on that side of things. We were supposed to play in a tournament at Valley Center, but it kind of broke apart a little bit on that side of things. Didn't have enough teams, so the AD there kind of got creative on scheduling and how we match things up, so we're making that work there too. So, but no, baseball will play some singles as well. Softball will play some singles with just like JV will play first and then varsity will play afterwards. We did that a couple years ago really to give us some more home dates because we were struggling to find that. So some of our other league opponents don't like that, but Dodge Garden Liberal, we're all okay with it because we know we need that part to give us some more home games. And it's nice to have that ability to do your senior nights on those single nights too because those JV kids play
first.
You do your senior night beforehand and then you roll into the game too. So
yeah, it's just so interesting. And that's because, you know, I mean, there were days in Indiana where you've got – it was all singles basically. Yeah. You may have a doubleheader on a Saturday, but it was all singles and the same thing with basketball. I think a big part of the reason for that, number one, is travel.
Yeah,
absolutely. And I think that's probably the driving force. 100%
travel is a big force of that part of it, too, especially out here. So.
Right, but the other thing is, too, you know, you ended up playing 13 games in 14 days, and you ended up playing every night of the week, so you didn't have time for practice or whatever, and it got kind of interesting down the stretch. All right, well,
you're good.
I'm sorry to cut our time short, but they're going to kick me off the air. It's 8 o'clock.
All right.
Thanks so much for joining us tonight, Sean Steiner. Here on Demon Talk, thanks to you and all of our guests this week. And have fun keeping your head on straight through the rest of the fall season.
Thank you, Derek. I appreciate it.
All right. That wraps it up tonight on Demon Talk. For our studio host, Justine Burunda, our sports director, Adam Kadavy, and our entire Western Kansas Broadcast Center crew, I'm Derek Decker saying so long and God bless from Dodge City. We're back on the air tomorrow night, 6:30 from Liberal, as the Red Demons take on the Liberal Redskins right here on Z98.